Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call of Indo Borax and Chemicals Limited. We have with us today Mr. Suresh Kalra, Managing Director and CEO of the company. Along with him, we also have Mr. Harsh Malhotra, Executive Director, and Mr. Shashikant Baruka, Chief Financial Officer of the company. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions after the management discussion concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Suresh Kalra, Managing Director and CEO of Indo Borax and Chemicals Limited, for his opening remarks and to share with the audience the company's performance in Q4 and FY 2026. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Good evening and a very warm welcome to you all to the earnings call for Q4 FY 2026 and the financial year FY 2026 of Indo Borax. As you might already be knowing, Indo Borax and Chemicals Limited was incorporated in 1980, and it has emerged as a leading player in the Indian boric acid market, commanding almost 50% market share. We are the sole manufacturer of IP-grade boric acid in the country, with valid FDA and BIS licenses. Our manufacturing facility is in Pithampur, Madhya Pradesh, and a capacity of about 26,000 tons per annum, which is comprising of about 20,000 tons per annum of boric acid and about 6,000 tons per annum of disodium octaborate tetrahydrate, which is commonly known as DOT. We are headquartered in Mumbai. The core product portfolio comprises of boric acid technical, which is mostly used in the glass, ceramics, flame retardants, chemicals, and metallurgy industries. We also have boric acid IP, which is mainly used in the pharma and personal care products, and DOT, which is used in agriculture as micronutrient. Also have boron oxide, which is used in fiberglass and boron-based chemicals. The company also produce some other products such as borax pentahydrate, mostly trading, and gypsum, which is a by-product for us. The boric acid market in India is estimated at around about 40,000 tons per annum, and as per the reports, we understand it's projected to grow at an 8% CAGR. That means it will be close to 33,000 tons in 2030. The steel and refractory segment accounts for almost 55%-60% of the demand for boric acid and where most of our business today is. This financial year marked a transformational phase for Indo Borax, as you might be following. In financial year 2026, the company experienced a significant ownership change. It's a transition with Zenrock Chemicals now emerging as our new promoters. In the fourth quarter of FY 2026, a new leadership team comprising of very experienced industry professionals, including our Chief Commercial Officer, our Chief Financial Officer, and myself, who took charge of the company's operations. Our continued focus on fiscal discipline, operational excellence, and the value creation enabled us to maintain healthy profitability and a strong balance sheet with near zero debt. The company closed FY 2026 with a 23% growth in operating revenues and 18% growth in the net profits. Our EBITDA and PAT margins were 21.8% and 21.5% respectively. This growth was achieved through an infusion of, as I already said, new leadership, capacity optimization, better operational efficiency, and improved realizations in our products in the market. We also continue to push ahead with our CapEx plans for the coming year to expand capacity and to broaden our product portfolio further. The details of these will be shared post the board approval. These are still in discussion. Owing to the recent change in the company's management, several efficiency-enhancing measures unlocked value from certain non-core assets, which are not helping the business. It was assets but not core to our business, so that resulted in an additional one-time reward as a special dividend of rupees 30 per equity share, amounting to over 3,000% for shareholders. This was over and above 1,000% dividend, which was the final dividend for this year. With strong numbers, improved realizations, and robust demand in domestic markets, we remain committed to creating value for our stakeholders in the forthcoming quarters. It is only beginning, I would say. Our business is deeply rooted in the Prime Minister's clarion call of Atmanirbhar Bharat and Make in India initiatives. We continue to envision greater possibilities with upcoming investments in capacities, new product lines, better talent, wider markets, and operational efficiencies. More importantly, We remain confident of delivering sustainable growth and long-term value to our stakeholders in financial year 27 and beyond. And with this note of optimism, I would now like to invite our CFO, Mr. Shashikant Dharuka, to discuss the company's quarterly and annual numbers. Shashikant ji, over to you.
Thank you, Suresh ji. Ladies and gentlemen, before I give an overview of the results, I would like to confirm that a detailed investor update has been uploaded to the exchange and on our website. We would be happy to consider any suggestions therein. Now, regarding FY26, I would like to provide an overview of our performance. During Q4 FY26, our operating revenue were ₹63.0 crore, representing a 25.7% increase against ₹50.12 crore in Q4 FY25. Our EBITDA for the quarter was up by 25.7% to ₹12.82 crore as compared to ₹10.2 crore in Q4 FY25. This accounted for an EBITDA margin of 20.4% per quarter. Our net profit increased by 41.9% to ₹14.53 crore in Q4 FY26 from ₹10.24 crore in Q4 FY25. The PAT margin improved by 250 basis points to 21.5% per quarter under review. The EPS stood at ₹4.53 for Q4 FY26. The performance for the quarter was supported by robust execution, improved capacity utilization, and higher realization amid steady order across domestic markets. For the annual performance of FY26, the company clocked an operating revenue of ₹215.45 crore, registering a 22.9% increase over FY25. The challenging geopolitical condition led to higher raw material prices and pressure on margin. The EBITDA for FY26 stood nearly at par with FY25 at ₹44.16 crore. Our PAT stood at ₹50.27 crore in FY26 from ₹42.51 crore in FY25. The EPS for the year stood at ₹15.67. The company declared special and final dividend amounting to ₹40 per equity share with face value of ₹1 each. With these points, I will now request that moderator open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Rahil Desani from MAPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, I'm audible.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and first of all, thank you for this opportunity and also congratulations on a good set of numbers. I'm a bit new to the company, so a few basic questions. First of all, our key products being boric acid technical grade, IP grade, TOT, and boron oxide. What is the sales contribution of each in our current annual revenue?
Yeah, so at this moment, the maximum business which we have is basically in boric acid itself, and that to boric acid technical, which is a major part of our business. We would say right now, if you go by volumes, you didn't ask about it, but gypsum is possibly the biggest volume, but that's a byproduct. But the boric acid technical is something around 14,476 tons, I would say 15,000 tons. About boric acid IP, about 900 tons, so that comprises of about 15,000 plus tons for this year. DOT was about 1,000 tons, to be precise, 982 tons. And then boron oxide and other traded products, everything put together was about 400 tons. So answering your question, boric acid technical continued to be our largest product right now. But going forward, we're looking forward to increase our share in DOT. It is consistently increasing. We started with about 600 tons and then it become 980 last year. And coming year, we are planning to do about 1,500 tons of that product.
Okay. Just to confirm, I believe the capacities are for boric acid and IP grade. The total capacity is 20,000. For DOT, it's 6,000. And for boron oxide, it's 4,000, right?
Yeah, I think boron oxide is still a project which is going on. So for the boric acid and DOT, you're right, absolutely correct. So I would say 90-91% currently that we're selling is boric acid, and about 8% DOT, and rest everything else comprising is about 2%.
Got it. And going ahead, considering that boron oxide and DOT were to be very big products for us initially, and also IP grade is a very high margin product. So based on this, in the next 1 to 2 years, what sort of scale-up are we seeing in these products in our current capacity, especially since our capacities are also unutilized for these particular products?
That's right. So boric acid itself, because the facility for boric acid technical and IP are almost, it's the same facility, and we have to interchange between them. We're definitely looking forward to increase our boric acid IP grade more, and for that, we are infusing more sales and marketing people in our company. So we'll use more of that in the coming quarters. At the same time, DOT, but still boric acid is completely utilized. We have taken over some debottlenecking projects, and that's why our capacity would be increasing slightly, but still it will not cross significantly, so we'll be still sold out in that category. While DOT, we are currently selling this year 980 tons, as I said, out of 6,000 tons capacity. So we'll still have a lot of capacity left. We possibly will increase that to 50%, and we'll be close to 1,500 tons this year. But still, there'll be a lot of capacity left in that. The other products, boron oxide and any other further integration, forward integration of these products would be part of our CAPEX products in the coming quarters and years.
Okay. Got it. And if I were to just understand, based on our total current capacity, existing capacity, what can be the peak turnover from that?
Yeah, that's a difficult question.
Optimally.
Yeah, you're talking in terms of revenue, is that correct?
Yeah, value.
Yeah, so value-wise, listen, this all also depends, because I don't have to say that currently the geopolitical situations have increased the raw material costs significantly, and now that has been passed on to the market. But I would say if we take that it doesn't go any further up and it continues to be where we are, this year we have closed at about 215 crores of revenue. If we do some more debottlenecking and we sell some more of DOT, as I said, we expect that we should be reaching 250 plus crores of revenue in the coming year. Now, but again, revenue is always a function of what the raw material fluctuations and inflations are.
Okay.
But if I believe everything can be able to stay.
What I was trying to say, what I was trying to ask is not the guidance for this year or next year. I know that's a very volatile thing. I'm asking, once the capacities are fully utilized, whenever that may be, 2 years out, 3 years out, what can be the turnover at that utilization? I'm trying to understand that. I'm not asking for guidance.
Sure. So, without any addition of CapEx, I'm taking as it is situation, we would be easily doing 25 to 30% more in the coming 1.5 years or so. Depending on, as I said, the pricing of the product, it can touch further up 10%. So
okay.
It can be anywhere between 20 to 35% depending on the raw material inflation.
Got it. And how to understand the total opportunity size of these products, as it has been already shared that we have 50% of the market share. So how should we think about growth going ahead? How should we think about that?
That's a lovely question.
And tapping export markets or maybe?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think this is also one of the things which is part of the strategic discussion with the new leadership team which we have here. You have only a limited way of growing in where you're already a market leader of extent of 50%. However, the growth opportunities which are going to come from to us would be from the IP grade, boric acid IP grade, DOT, and further forward integration of certain products which we are planning to introduce in the next 3 to 4 quarters. So that's our intent, to add more product lines. Currently, we are working on it. They are active projects. And that's why I'm confident that in the next couple of quarters, you will start hearing from us about it.
Okay. And just one last thing on the pricing part of it, since you said that is a volatile part and that may impact numbers. If you can share right now what is going on pricing-wise, where are we, how much prices have increased or decreased, are we able to pass them on, or what's going on?
Yeah. No, I'm not concerned if that's what it came out as. Because the pricing, rather I would say, I'm from the chemical industry for many, many years. Right now, there are very severe fluctuations in pricing in a lot of chemical products. However, we are not one of them. Our fluctuations were very limited, actually. So, of course, fluctuations are there, but we were not that impacted as many other chemical sectors have been impacted. So, whatever what the increase was able to pass on to our customers, and they also were able to pass on to their customers, because in this value chain, if anybody would not be able to pass on, then it's a loss for the whole value chain. So, we are confident that we are in a good situation and good chemical sector, where the entire value chain could pass on the price increases to the whole set of their customers. So I don't see it as a problem at this moment.
Okay. No, so the reason that I was asking this question is previously our business used to be 25-30% margin in the last 3-4 years, but in the last few quarters, 4-5 quarters, the margins have dipped to 20-22%. So what is the reason for that? Is it because of this pricing scenario or what else?
Yeah, I can't say too much about what was there in the past. I think in the last few quarters, we are hovering around 21%. So it is close to 21 to 22% in the last couple of quarters. Yeah. And we are confident of maintaining that or surpassing that. So I don't see any corrections in the coming quarters coming for our quality of earnings.
Okay. And just one last thing, what would be our EBITDA per ton number that we are making for the majority product that we are doing right now, that boric acid technical grade?
You're talking about the per kilo basis?
Yeah.
EBITDA per kg. Yeah, EBITDA per kg would be about 28 to 29 rupees per kilo. And I would say percentage-wise, it should be higher than 20%. So 20-21% or something.
Okay. And has this changed in the last one and a half year, whereby previously it used to be north of 30 and right now it's much lower?
So the numbers which actually I have, and I have the benefit of showing my ignorance a little bit, sorry for that, but in the last two quarters, which is in front of me, the numbers have been between 20-21% only. So I don't see in the last 4 or 5 quarters, which is visible to be right now in front of me, it is 20-21% only, and we're maintaining that.
Got it. And when we say that the raw material prices are very volatile, do you think that we will be able to maintain this current EBITDA per kg number that you said right now?
That's correct. So, and sorry, I'll repeat myself if I said it differently. I would again say volatility of raw material in our sector is much lesser than the volatility in a lot of chemical sectors. Okay. The raw materials are pretty much contracted, and some of the raw materials contracted are at a long-term basis. So I don't see we will have any issues in terms of maintaining our margins for at least few quarters.
Okay, got it. First of all, thank you. I have a few more questions, but I'll get back in the queue. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Serene Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, while the company has mentioned its products are used in glass, pharma, personal care, agriculture, and all, and we have found that these products find their uses in new age applications like electronics and semiconductor packaging, display and the container glass factories, at defense and refractories metals as well. So what are the plans of the new management regarding the supply of their products to these new age applications?
Right. So we are currently also in the exploratory stage. We know we are pretty strong in the steel industry. Okay. That is which is our forte is. The applications are there in other industries too, like in ceramics, and we have small presence in some of the other market segments regarding this. We are currently in the exploratory stage, and I think I'll be more confident in answering this question in the next couple of quarters, maybe next or next to next quarter.
Got it. And regarding boron oxide CAPEX that you mentioned, it is currently ongoing. What is the expected timeline, sir?
We are expecting that will be able to kind of getting our first lot in 3 to 4 quarters from now.
Okay, and what can be the peak revenue we can anticipate from this 4,000 MTPA capacity?
Usually, again, as a thumb rule, I can say, because things keep on changing, boron oxide is almost 2.5 to 3 times of the price of boric acid in general. Now, so anyway, it hovers between 2 to 3 times. So right now, if I'm saying it is, right now it is 2.5 times of that. So revenue would be accordingly.
Understood. And while answering the previous participant, I think you mentioned the peak revenue will be 25% to 30% from the current levels, right? From the existing capacity.
Yeah, I was careful in saying on the revenue side because, if I say as far as the volumes are concerned, we are already at the peak capacity for boric acid, okay? Barring some operational efficiencies which bring into the system, some debottlenecking, etc. Barring that, we are almost at capacity. Okay? DOT is where our volumes are still to be utilized a lot more than what we can produce today. Okay? But when you ask about the revenues, then it becomes a factor also of the pricing. And that's why I'm being very careful in saying it can move between 25% to 35% depending on how the price realizations are.
Understood. And for this year, you mentioned 250 CR. So what kind of bottom line we can anticipate, a ballpark number?
I would say we would like to maintain exactly the same level of quality of earnings or EBITDA percentage which we have today.
Got it.
In this quarter. Okay. Quarter four has been good. As far as, I don't know if you look at all the numbers, quarter three was not very good for us, but quarter four represents a pretty right quarter for us, and that's what we'd like to replicate in the coming few quarters also.
And how this quarter one is ongoing, sir, in the terms of demand, environment, and the supply chain situation?
We have no complaints to make. We are happy with our results in April. Of course, it's too early right now to divulge the numbers, but I think we would be maintaining or surpassing our quarter four numbers.
Got it. And
I would say we're definitely surpassing, if I rephrase myself, but it will nowhere be less than our quarter four earnings.
Got it. And so this acquirer, Genro Chemicals Private Limited, means can you spend few minutes on explaining what kind of past experience they bring in this kind of industry? Because what we found is their past experience to be associated with more towards the steel and trading business. So can you help us to understand, like, how can they operate a company in a totally different industry without any past experience? Or maybe you can provide some details on their past experience so that we can better understand their interest in this segment.
Sure. I will just say a little bit, and then I would invite Harsh Malhotra, who is our Executive Director for Strategic Initiatives, as part of our board, and he is representing also Zenrock here. I would say that Zenrock Chemicals has definitely have done more deals in the chemical industry in the past, and specifically for this deal, they have been involved from quite some time. They did the entire due diligence. They have surveyed the market, and then they jotted down out of many acquisitions. This was the one they wanted to do because I dealt with them in the past, so I knew that's how they have come to the conclusion. But I would rather say, Harsh, you're on the call. Why not you take this question and help the gentleman?
No, yeah, thank you very much for that. Thank you for that question there. So from a perspective of operating, Zenrock Chemicals is more of a holding company, whereas the day-to-day operations are led by industry experts, Mr. Kalra, our chief commercial officer, as well as our head of operations, our operations head at the factory, as well as our experienced CFO. The promoter understands the business well, but has led and have appointed a very experienced team to run the business on a day-to-day basis. And I am here as a member of the board to provide a strategic guidance and lead strategic initiatives where they happen. So from a day-to-day operations perspective, we have an experienced group of individuals who have extensive experience in the chemical industry led by Mr. Kalra.
Got it. I think that is it from my side, sir, and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dhruv Bajaj from Growth Sphere Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity and congratulations on this takeover. Sir, firstly, given the nature of the takeover, because this business hasn't performed really well in the past decade, so to speak, like on the operational front, it has done pretty well, but on the growth front, it hasn't, fairly speaking. So can you share the vision around the company after this takeover? Like, what attracted you to this asset? Like, was it some sort of certification that these guys had, or what was it, the sheer replacement cost of the asset or the balance sheet when there was huge amount of cash already present in the books? So what attracted us towards the business, if you can share more details on that front, and our vision regarding the business?
Sure. Listen, you have been following the business, so you already said half of the things which I would wanted to say, so thank you for that. It's a strong company with very strong results for decades. It's a 45-year-old company, a zero-debt company, with very strong balance sheet, with sufficient cash available to do CapEx or even some level of acquisitions if required to be done. So I think these are all the points which attracted us and Zenrock Chemicals to make the acquisition. And because we understand that the business has potential of growth, there is a lot of possibility of borone chemistry and forward integration into other products, which we are currently not doing. And we know that the cash is available and cost of capital is in our favor that way. And that's the reason, if you see that we have kind of monetizing our non-core assets to benefit the shareholders and also invest in the future technologies here. So these are all very easy decisions to make with the experience which this company has, coupled with the fact that I'm experiencing that there was no second, third generation which was that much interested in the business. I mean, I have nobody to say it for people who have sold it. It was a great business to be in, but I think our main interest was to take it now and take it to the next level. And that's what we're planning to do.
So we as investors got a bit confused because firstly we were hoping that as the new management comes in, so they may utilize the cash in the books to either give special dividend, which we have already given, or to utilize that particular cash spread on the growth part. Considering we were very aggressive on the business front, that was the thought process. But after, right after the takeover, I think the promoters pledged their stake. So there was some sort of misconception that this dividend is being given off so that they can service that covenants. So if you can share more details on whether this was a strategic decision to actually deleverage reduce the overcapitalization in the balance sheet, or what was the logic behind that? Because at one point you are saying that we want to reinvest in the business, but at the same time, we are taking out all the cash that was available in the business in the form of one-time dividend. So I could understand the treasury operation on that part. Like, what's the thought process behind that?
Yeah. Listen, thought process is very simple. And first of all, we have not taken the entire cash out of the company. I think we still have sufficient cash for all the capex which we have budgeted for the next 2 years. The intent was definitely that the company and shareholders should be winning. There are non-core assets to the company which we sold. Okay. There were flats and cars and things like that, which is definitely not helping the business grow. And that's what we monetize. And once we monetize, then it's also our duty that everybody get equally benefited. The new promoters and the old shareholders of the company, and that's what we did. And that's why we call it one time. We look forward to invest in the business more, grow the business more, and continue to expand ourselves. That's the intent which we have going forward.
Perfect. So that is super helpful. And sir, in terms of boric acid, based on our understanding, Turkey is having a monopoly on the crude boron front, wherein we, I think, source majority of our crude boron from their side, and then we process them maybe for pharma application or for other applications. So like, how do we compete with them, especially in exports market? And given that we've been able to rope in very experienced professionals like Suresh Kalaji himself from Aquafirm within 1 year of his taking over of the CEO of that particular company, so what's the game plan with that hiring or the switch in terms of Sureshji coming back to this business? Like, are there some sort of low-hanging fruits that we can utilize to grow this business in the next coming 1 or 2 years, which will not require a lot of investment in the core business? And are we supposed to grow in the boric acid front only going forward, or are we exploring some other chemistries as well? Which, or is it too early to speak on that front?
Yeah, so mix of this. So I guess this question is for me. So thank you that you mentioned what I did in the past. And of course, I think this was one of the decisions why I came and joined here, because I see a lot of opportunities. I'll take your question in 2-3 parts and answer it. First, I will answer the very critical question which you asked about the raw materials. Now, you're right. The raw material, which is in our case, there are various raw materials through which you can make boric acid, and we all have capabilities of making it from all of them, but currently we are using ulexite, which is the ore which comes from Turkey, and it also comes from South America, and it also can come from North America. So there are 3 major continents from where these products can come from. Historically, we have bought more from Turkey sites, but we are currently working very strongly on projects and also commercialized to some extent, and de-risk ourselves from any dependence on one particular location. I would also, before coming to your other questions, I would request Harsh, because he is the one who is leading the de-risking project here from the board side for de-risking our raw materials. Harsh, would you like a couple of minutes to explain that to the group?
Yes, I can go ahead and explain that. So the boron ore itself is really found in 3 places, as Mr. Kalra just mentioned, which is Turkey, South America, and North America. It's not found in any other geographies across the world. So with an understanding that these 3 locations, specifically the United States, South America, and Turkey, have effective control over the full global supply of the boron ore. So having concentration in 1 or 2 is a risk that we're trying to de-risk at this point. So managing this concentration, expanding to as many kind of other places and buying from other places is a core strategic priority that we are trying to develop for ourselves, so that we can be resilient to any, you know, geopolitical changes that could arise, and or supply disruptions that could happen. So that is definitely a strategic priority that we are trying to do, and we have been successful in doing in the past few months already, and which we're going to continue to put our efforts into.
Perfect. So just one last question from my end. Sir, again, Indovirix is one of the largest players in the boric acid chemistry. But however, based on our reading, the total addressable market itself is pretty small. And based on the commentary that you're giving, I don't think this might be a business that can grow at, say, 30-40% kind of growth rate. However, this will be a very efficient business that will generate tons of cash flow going forward. And given the background of the promoters and the other acquirers as well, so is there some plan that we might utilize this particular company as a holding company, wherein the cash flow generated from the chemical business can be used and deployed into seeding other ventures as well, considering Harsh himself worked at a VC, if I'm not mistaken. So is there some sort of thought process on that front as well, or will this be purely a chemical trading slash processing business going forward as well?
So I would say, Mr. Bajaj, great ideas. We are going to use that. Right now, I think we all are pretty much from the chemical industry. So to answer your question, with our current set of products, I'll tell you. So in India, we are making 2 or 3 large products and we are selling it. We are not selling it outside of India. So first thing is, we are trying to explore some of the lucrative export markets. While we are saying it, I'm already working on it. Okay, not all, but some of them where it is lucrative enough. Second is, within India, rather than being a 2 or 3 or 4 product company, we're trying to find more chemistries and with forward integration, and we are going to spend some more on the R&D side of it and try to introduce more products along with our capex from the current products which you already know. So these are the few things that you want to do. But at the same time, if there is any new venture which comes to us where we see some synergies, there has to be some synergies, of course. We're not going to get into the businesses which are completely not known to us, then definitely we are going to look at that also. But right now, I would say we are right now focusing on making our current business more robust and getting into newer geographies and getting into newer technologies which are related to the Boron chemistry. That's our current focus for the series.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity and all the best
for the future interview. Thank you, Mr.
Kajash. Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vaibhav Bajaria from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I hope I'm audible. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you well.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot for providing the opportunity. So a lot of discussion has already happened, so I will ask what is not already covered. So in terms of, like you have alluded to a lot of new products. So if I want to understand your strategy in more detail, what kind of criteria do you have that, you know, this is the product which we can go for? I understand that obviously forward integration is one criteria and it has to be boron chemistry. But after that boron chemistry, if you have various choices, what is your decision-making criteria that this product is better and this product will not go for?
Yeah. See, I'll give you a very wide answer right now, Vaibhav, on this, because, you know, we acquired the company on 23rd of January. We are giving our first results. So of course, not that we are fully prepared with what kind of product lines will come in, but I can give you my line of vision, how we want to do it, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, whenever you want to introduce any new products, technologies, you need to find some synergy somewhere. Either it has to be at the raw material basis, or it has to be at the operational basis, or it has to be at the customer end basis. Now, we are working on all three of them at this moment. So I'll give you an example. For example, today, Procter & Gamble is our customer. Okay, they buy our product, but they buy hundreds and hundreds of other products. So if we find some synergy in getting into those technologies which help us cross-sell or utilize that relationship and camaraderie with those customers, we want to do that. Similar thing is that our core competence is pretty strong in using an ore, extracting water out of it, and make a very highly technical specification-based product. If that's something which we come across, possibly we'll introduce those products. So right now, we have not made fully where we want to go, but we have a line of vision, and in the next few quarters, you will hear more from us about it.
Got it. So it seems like you're open to moving into non-boron chemistry as well if you find the synergies on the customer side piece of it.
Yes, open is the right word. Vaibhav, absolutely right. We would prefer to have something more closer to our current chemistry because it makes it easier for us. But if it is a more lucrative market and we believe that we are capable of entering into it, yes, we will do that. So we are open to it.
Got it. Understand. And thirdly, going forward in terms of this special dividend and everything you have declared, but going forward, do you have any kind of payout policy in mind that you want to pay 20 or 30% of profit PAT and regularly pay it? And so how should we view it going forward? Will it be seen as a percentage or it would be just annual?
Great question, Vaibhav. This is something which we are also discussing internally, and we also had the discussion with our board today. They have not declared anything yet. We are in a process of making a stated dividend policy, which is not declared yet, but we are in the process, so that we can give better information to all of us shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be there, yes.
Got it. And lastly, just coming back to forward integration. So obviously we have boron acid, boron oxide, DOT. I'm sure DOT, there is no forward integration. There are not many things which is possible. But from boron oxide and boric acid, out of the two, which line would have more forward integration possibilities?
Listen, this is something, again, I would not have a full answer right now because we're still exploring it. At this moment, what we understand is that the boric acid and boron oxide definitely in the steel industry can be kind of used or replace each other. Okay, so that is one thing. But boron oxide has more applications, which we have not experienced in, and we are trying to explore more, definitely. So instead of answering exactly what we're planning to do, this is something which is our work in progress with our sales and marketing team, and we are also hiring some consultants to take benefit of their knowledge on the subject. So I do not have exact answer right now, but yeah, we are exploring all of that.
Got it. And sorry, I
would request you to please join back the queue for follow-up questions.
Yeah, this might be the last question, if you can allow.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. So for boric acid, you know, we've seen that you're pretty strong in the steel industry. But what were the reasons that we were successful in steel and customers in the steel industry and not in the other industry? Is it something to do with the quality of the product or something else? I mean, I just curious to know that.
Yeah, that I can answer you, because this was one question after I joined, I met all our top customers, and that's how you learn the market. One thing which consistently almost every customer I have met in last few months have said is that your product has the best technical specifications. Our product is used in steel industry in a very small amount. Okay, they make refractories, and refractories use ramming mass, and it's steel. So it's used in a very single digit percentage of the total product which they're using for making the refractories. But it impacts the quality significantly higher. Okay, so the input cost versus the benefit which they get is completely in their favor, and that's where we have been very, very strong in the steel industry. Now, I'm not saying that the technical specification is not important in other industries, because I have yet to explore that, but almost in the steel industry, anybody I've met, everybody has exactly the same answer, that your product is technically very superior, and that's why we plan to use our product. That was one question I always asked them. The stickiness of our customer is very high. If you look at any of our customer lists in the last, I think, I at least looked at the number from last 5 years, and our top 10 to 12 customers continue to be same. Okay, it only changes that the number 4 customer has gone to 6, and the 6 has gone to number 3, but the top 10 to 15 customers have been same for many years. The stickiness is very, very high, and that can only happen when you make a technically superior product. So that's what we currently know. But we'll try to see that maybe other industries also need a very technically high product. But that's my current guess, that why we are stronger in one market segment than others.
Got it. Thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you, Weber. Pleasure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Saloni Arya from Molecule Ventures PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Saloni. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, I think I might have missed your commentary part on the reason why our results were really good this quarter. Is it purely a realization perspective, or was there volume growth or anything else as well?
Okay, Sashikant, would you like to take on? Mr. Sashikant will answer this question, please, Saloni.
Yeah. So, Saloni, it's a mix of volume growth and as well as the better price realizations compared to last year, and which Suresh had explained, ki we are getting around 127 to 28 rupees per kg in this year as compared to last year 114 and 15 rupees. So there is a better sales realizations, and there also we increase the capacity and quantity also in this year. And last going ahead, there was some issue in the last quarter of FY 2023, FY 2026, and which may going to overcome, and the quantity may increase in the coming year. So we may increase the sales realization as well as volume increase also. So, and our main product is the boric acid. Hope I answer your question.
Yes, sir. So next question regarding the bottlenecking part that we said. So with the debottlenecking, and next year we are hoping to achieve 250 crores, I just want to ask, because since last decade with the old management, basically, we have been stuck to a sales base. So with the changes that we are doing, when can we see the shift in the base, and what level are we particularly thinking right now? And in how many years are we thinking that could happen?
So shift in the base, like, I think Suresh sir would like to take it.
Yeah, I somehow missed some of the words. So
I think how we are going to achieve 250 crores.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Saloni, sorry, I missed some of the words. Sashikant, help me understand that. Yeah, so how we want to get to the revenues and the bottom line this year is a combination of three or four things, okay? One is definitely when we declare capacity, and in any industry, usually the capacity is declared in different ways. What is a nameplate capacity? Nameplate capacity is what, when you buy an equipment, it tells you that this much it can produce, right? And then you have shutdowns. Some of them are planned shutdowns and some of them are unplanned shutdowns. If you do a better preventive maintenance, your unplanned shutdowns are lower. Even with the planned shutdowns, you can plan it in a way that you can do it for 20 days or 15 days or 10 days. Our intent is to have almost as low unplanned shutdowns as possible. Second, we are planning our shutdowns in a much better way so that the entire plant shutdown doesn't become too long. And that's why we plan to increase our capacities by getting 5, 6, 7, 8 more days of production versus how what we have been doing in the past. That will help us sell that much additional volumes. Second is the realization, which Shashikant has already mentioned, that our realization is better than the previous year and the previous quarter. We see the same trend is continuing, so we will be able to reach higher realizations coming out of it. And third is, as which is more long-term, is that we are trying to enter into newer product lines and try to see that we can find more usage of our products. So, for example, I just said previously that we are using more in steel industry, but we'll try to find more utilization of our product in other industry too. So it's a combination of all these three. Two of them we have full visibility of. And third is something which will be a little long-term. So we'll start seeing the benefit of that in a couple of quarters. I hope that's something what you were asking for. Is that right, Shalin?
Yes, sir. So on those lines, on the third part that you mentioned, basically, I think I heard in the call you mentioned that boron oxide has a relatively higher number of applications. And we are more interested in IP-grade assets that we have. So can you please elaborate on these two things and what all applications are we talking about? Are there any new industries opening up for this particular product? So, yeah,
will you share
details on that?
Yeah. So boron oxide is an established product. We're just trying to find more and more about it. And right now, I do not have the full knowledge about what, where all it can be used, but that's a work in progress. However, on the IP grade, I think there are various applications, but the market has not been very utilized as far as we were concerned because we were almost fully sold out in the steel industry. But we are meeting all the customers who are producing either products for pharma or FMCG. I'm myself in touch with Procter & Gamble for the last couple of months, and we're trying to find more applications. So boric acid can be used in various applications for which we need to run long tests with these companies, which we are initiating now. So this is something I cannot divulge with exact information at this moment because these are projects in progress. Once they are either way fully successful or not successful, I'll be able to share more details about that.
Thank you so much for thank you so much
for
from my side. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you. So nice to you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Puran Manglilal Tusk from Oracle Capital Service. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Puranji.
Yes. So, first of all, congratulations for the result. And my question mostly on the DOT. So, what is the average realization per metric ton of the DOT? And you, in the presentation, so it was mentioned that we are also, or the company is in discussion with the agreement so they can supply that fertilizer or the particular nutrient to the fertilizer company.
Yeah. So I'll give you a little bit brief about DOT because it's a very interesting product and I see a lot of possibilities of growth here. So DOT is basically a micronutrient fertilizer, not a regular fertilizer, so micronutrient fertilizer. And it's used in budding plants for vegetables, fruits, even tea gardens. Okay. And it can be used all over India, but so far, where we talk to people is in Maharashtra, Gujarat, Andhra Pradesh, and Assam are where a lot of potential and current customers are scattered in. Currently, the market size of this product is about 8,500 tons in India, and it's growing. We currently do 1,000 tons, so it's about 7 to 8% of the total market. So we have we have a strong possibility of growth. As I said, we did about 680 tons 2 years back. This year we did about 950 tons, and next year we're planning to go to 1,500 tons or so. So it's a growth market and can even go further. Now, current realization, to be very specific, what we have is about 149.6, let's say 150 rupees a kilo is the current realization of this product. And we're trying to learn more and more about it. We are currently a small player in the market segment. So we will follow the market guidelines of how the market is, but we'll try to learn more and try to see if this realization is correct or there is a possibility for improvement here. Right now, boric acid is being used also as an ingredient in making DOT, which gives us definitely an edge over any other player in the market. So that's the benefit which we have.
Okay, and another point in the presentation, it was mentioned that we had an import parity cost. So basically, we are producing at a less cost compared to the export price. So how much is different? Like, what is our value gap? Or we are...
For the DOT, it's import parity. What is the benefit which we have?
Yeah, this is the, I think we have leveraged to opportunity and they tie up with the fertilizer company and we got benefit in price and quality for these two issues. These are the benefits we are having.
So the benefit which we also have is that because there are two major raw materials which are used in this product and one of them is manufactured by us. So that definitely gives us an edge because anybody who's importing has an additional logistics cost and some duties involved in it. So we have that benefit. We don't fully quantify so far being a smaller player in the market how much is the exact benefit, but we definitely have a benefit over this and we will be working on it to see what is the right price for this product in the coming quarters.
Achha, okay. Okay, and another question from general point of view, as our 100%, as the promoter's share is 100% pledged, so like at what portion of debt is pledged to two shares. So like in the case of deep market correction, so there is a chance that a promoter share could sell off. I just wanted to know loan to value ratio.
Harsh, would you like to address it to some extent or you want to answer it later on through our investor relations so that you can exactly give the right answer?
Yeah, I think it would be. I think I'd prefer to answer this in. Just have to kind of go through the numbers once again and understanding it a little bit more. So just to understand your question, you're asking in terms of. Do you mind repeating the question again, if you don't mind? So it's really clear.
So my question was, like, what is a loan to value ratio? Like, at how much portion of debt is pledged to shares which are holding in the Borex? So like. Is it 100, like, you have to get 400 crore of debt?
No, we are zero debt in Indobrex. Zero debt.
No, Zendrom has taken 400 crore of debt to finance.
Yeah, so I think we can get back to the specific answer through the IR team, if you can give us a little bit of time to get back to you on this one.
Mr. Mangilal, can you? It's a question from Mr. Mangilal, right?
Mr. Mangilal.
Can you send this question to rohit@fortunapr.com?
Okay.
Okay. They are our investor relations, and they will give you an exact answer to this question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rahil Desani from MAPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just on the DOT part, the DOT product, the capacity for DOT was added long back. Any particular reason that it's not utilized and it's rather very lowly utilized, and even now we are saying only 1,500 tons from 1,000 right now, while this is a completely imported product from what I get. So, if you can share what is going on right now, what sort of customer interactions, is there some product rejection or quality issues?
Yeah, I would not be able to say anything which is which was not our responsibility. I'm sure every business people have their own set of decision making, and it might be right for what they did. What I can only say at this moment is, for future, it's a story of transformation for us. We are looking at every possible products, every possible geography where we can grow. I see, and my team see, DOT as a growth area, and that's where we are focusing on. Now, I cannot say that we can double the business in a year's time. Maybe we can, but right now we have taken a target of even increasing 50% of the business in a year's time, and then we'll continue to grow high double digit in the coming years. But how previously it was done, it is very difficult for me to comment on. But yes, it would be a focus area for us.
Fair enough, very clear. Secondly, regarding the demand for part again, there's a lot of steel capex ongoing in the steel industry. How should we think about the increased demand for us, considering majority sales is for steels and refractory industry? And secondly, you also said that we are exploring the export market. So considering both these factors, do we want to expand the boric acid technical grade capacity even further, since you have said that we are almost fully utilized there?
That is also part of the discussions we currently are having with the leadership team and with our board of directors. We originally didn't thought that we would be needing this expansion for the next couple of years, but as you rightly said, and as we also see, there is a growth which is possibly coming, and we possibly need to expand ourselves. So it's currently an active discussion within our leadership team and board of directors.
Got it. Very clear. And as of date, out of the 20,000 capacity of total boric acid, how much do we want to place for the IP grade going ahead? Right now, it's a rather smaller number, like you said. But going ahead in the next 1 to 2 years, how much of this would you like to allocate for the IP grade?
Yeah. So because IP grade has a better realization, if given a choice, possibly I would like to convert almost everything into it. But yes, that's not an opportunity which we have. So it's always a combination of where we're getting a better price realization and where we have customer commitment, of course. So customer commitment and better realization would be the two criteria on which we'll be moving, how much we allocate to the IP grade.
Got it. And for boron oxide, you said the realizations are 2.5x of the technical grade. So what's that number for IP grade? How much higher are the realizations in IP grade?
It's about, at this moment, we have about 10 to 15% higher realization in the boric acid IP grade, because it's the same equipment which you're using. You just have to work strongly on the specifications, because it goes into the applications which touches human body. But otherwise, manufacturing process remains same. It's more of specification-based, because of which it becomes an IP grade.
Got it. Very clear. That would be all from my side. Thank you very much for answering all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Puranji.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Serene Alpha. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hello, I'm Arvid.
Yes, Garvit, please go ahead.
Sir, in balance sheet FY26, the company has reported other financial assets, current as well as non-current, to 70 CR. So could you provide more details on, like, what are the areas we have invested these amounts?
I think these are the FDs which were continuing from previous promoters, and it's a depending one we disclose maturity less than 12 months and more than 12 months. Maturity more than 12 months going into non-current financial assets, and maturity less than 12 months part of the current financial assets. And it is new going decreasing future, because we are not investing FD. These are old FD which we go from the previous management.
So what the new management is thinking about this, like, they will be keeping it in the FDs only, or will be elaborating more other opportunities to invest into part of funds, maybe for a near to medium term?
If you see the balance sheet, our investment increased by 130 crore. Whatever majority come from the FD, we are investing in the mutual funds, because we want to remain in more liquid capacity, given the, our capex expansions, new opportunity. So FD is the, like, limited, we got invested bank, but we are keeping money in the investment only, short-term investment only.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vaibhav Barjatya from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for providing the follow-up. So in terms of pricing of our product and raw material, I'm sure it is obviously import parity. But how does it work in terms of international pricing? Is there a benchmark or something at which the transactions are done? Basically, how do we track the pricing of the product if they want to track the pricing of raw material and boric acid in the international market?
Sorry, Vaibhav, I'll ask you. You're asking about the opportunities to export out of India? Is that the question or did I hear it wrong?
No. That's not the question. See, the question is, how do we price our product? So, pricing depends on the, what is the industry-level pricing. So, what are the benchmarks for the industry-level pricing that we use to price our product?
Right. I understand your question. So, the pricing, for that matter, I think it is across industries. Pricing is always a factor of either your raw materials or how market perceives your product as, or a gap of demand and supply. So these are the three major things which define any pricing strategy. Okay, we always command a premium in the market versus others because our quality is perceived to be, and I would say yes, truthfully, it is definitely better, and that's historically has been said and confirmed by our customers, and that's why we always have a premium in the market. So that's one reason why pricing is slightly higher, always said in the market. Second is, how you're buying your raw material is also makes a difference, because if you're buying it at the right time, and today is such a uncertain geopolitical situations, if you buy a product today versus you make a decision 2 weeks later, it makes a huge difference in terms of what your costing is, and accordingly sometimes you'll price it higher. Okay. And third is, of course, the demand-supply gaps, which we all are seeing for various product lines. So for us, as a standard thing, we would like to make, and we are confident that this year we are maintaining our costing strategy at a stable level, and we make our pricing based on how the market is ready to provide it. Okay, so that's currently our pricing strategy is this year.
Right. Yeah, but my question was something else. So, for example, you know, in aluminium industry, there is a LME index which everyone follows to price the aluminium. Similarly, there are indexes in steel industry, iron ore industry. So, any index that is being used in your industry to price your product, like boric acid, or any other international company's prices is being used as a reference prices for your pricing. Is what I'm trying to
know. Yeah, so not known to us. I know what you're saying here. I mean, depending on what industry you are in, you always have indices pricing and you have indices plus and minus. In this industry, there is no indices being used. And so it is purely based on which market you are in. So some geographies have different pricing strategies. If you go to South America or you go to Europe and you go to US and India, there can be different dynamics of the local pricing strategies which follows, but there is no global or local indices on which the pricing is based on. It's mostly either cost plus and then market plus and minus. That's how the pricing is derived.
Okay, and the situation is same on the raw material on ULSS side as well? There is no reference pricing as such?
No, that definitely plays a role, and that's what I'm saying. If you are a smarter buyer that you have, so for example, I'm very confident we have a chief commercial officer who has joined us from the chemical industry, and he's one of the best purchasers I've seen, and he's currently in our team. I'm very confident that that's helping us making the right decision at the right time for our raw material, which is giving us an edge over our competition. That's what we currently believe.
And the raw material contracts are generally fixed in terms of pricing for the whole year, or how does it work? Is it quarterly fixed pricing, or how does it work?
Yeah, so it's a mix. There are customers who look forward for a quarterly pricing, and then it goes both ways, because when it goes up or goes down, you maintain the price, and there are customers which work on a monthly pricing. So we have a good combination of short-term and medium-term customers. So right now in this industry, for many years, there's no yearly contract where you can have a fixed pricing, etc., which is good because the fluctuation is high. We usually have monthly and quarterly pricing, which is worked with our customers, which is how the industry is also going.
No, I was talking on the raw material side. When you procure raw material, is it fixed for the whole year or quarterly, or how does it work?
So that's also a combination. So for example, the ore you can buy both on yearly, 6 monthly and quarterly basis. Now, we also have to hedge ourselves because if you make a decision for the whole year, then you have to live with it for the whole year. And if you make a decision only for a month, then it's too much fluctuation. So we make always a more aware call in which we decide whether we want to buy this time for a quarter or for 6 months. As the market is very volatile today, we are trying to safeguard ourselves for minimum 2 quarters every time we are making a pricing purchasing decision.
Got it. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Madam.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ashish Parikh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, and it's heartening to see that the promoters have appointed...
Ashish, I do apologize to interrupt you, but your audio is not coming in clear. Could you please use your handset?
Am I audible now?
This is better. Please go ahead.
It's heartening to see that the professional management has been appointed by the promoters, and it's also very warm that a con call was held for promoters, for investors. Now, sir, I joined a little late. Could you provide me the revenue and EBITDA margin guidance? How do you see the company growing from here?
Okay, Shashikant, you want to take that?
Yeah. I think, Ashish, you have a question, but as part of that, our insider trading and other possibility, we are able to give any numbers on a full basis. However, keeping in mind that strength of business, the category of product and the sector we are catering along with the current geopolitical situation, we remain that we are reflecting the numbers and performance higher than the current numbers in years to come. So we are and current quarter may be a good than Suresh told in that key may be good than the previous quarters, but absolute numbers may not able to share with you.
No, any roadmap that the management has set internal targets, like how in future years we plan to grow in percentage terms, EBITDA margins which we could sustain and improve upon.
Right. Broadly, Ashish, I can say that. Listen, we did 175 crores of revenue previous financial year. Okay, and then we did the last financial year which closed in March, we did 215 crores. And before you come, maybe, as you said, you joined a little late. I'm not giving any exact number. I'm saying we are moving between 20 to 35% of revenue growth. It can reach to 40 to 50 to 60 crores or something like that. That could be coupled on the basis that there will be increased realization, slightly higher volumes by our deep bottlenecking and operational efficiency, and some new products which we are going to introduce. So that's what current guidance is. As far as the EBITDA or quality of earnings are concerned, we are definitely looking forward to maintain our EBITDA percentage margins or get better. We're definitely not looking forward to lower down the quality of earnings which we have today. That's the guidance which we can provide you at this moment.
That answers my question, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ashish.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Deepak Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Deepak Gupta.
Deepak, please unmute your line and proceed with your question.
Hi, good evening. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah. Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. Firstly, congratulations on the takeover and the results. I wanted to ask a question regarding the boron oxide product that you have. What are our plans regarding this product? Is it an item which is part of the import substitution? If yes, then how exactly do we plan to take this up with regard to wherever the material is coming in right now? And my second question is regarding boric acid. What percentage of our sales would be boric acid, and how do we plan to ramp it up from here? Thank you.
Sure. So currently, boric acid, as I said earlier, is a significant portion of our entire business. DOT is 8 to 10%, so 85 to 90% of our current business is boric acid, okay? As far as boron oxide is concerned, as I said before, boron oxide has various applications, and definitely it is one of the products which can replace boric acid. doesn't provide any additional benefits, but yes, you don't have to extract water out of boron oxide. It's basically an anhydrous product. Okay, that's the benefit which customers have. So what we look forward is that we have a product for the customers who want an anhydrous product or a customer which want a standard boric acid, and that's why we want to introduce boron oxide also. Okay, and over and above, we are going to find newer applications for that product, which currently we are not very well versed with. Okay, so that's our current plan. Within this financial year, we look forward to not only initiate, to some extent complete what we want to do as a capex in boron oxide, but definitely within this financial year and few months of the next financial year, it should be complete. That's our current plan is.
Okay. And so what would be the capacity in terms of metric ton for boric acid currently? As you had earlier said that you're running on peak capacity right now.
You're talking about boric acid? So, so boric acid, our plant capacity is nameplate-wise, it's supposed to be 20,000 tons. But historically, we have been close to 15,000 to 16,000 tons because of shutdowns, plant shutdowns, sometimes raw material unavailability, and things like that, which I usually call them leaks in efficiency, okay? So we look forward to get better and better there. And this year, our target would be to be, how much, Shashikant, about 18,000 tons?
18,000.
So we are definitely trying to increase 1,000 to 1,500 tons of boric acid, definitely coming through our efficiency, operational efficiencies, and better plant and balanced plant management way, okay? And then overall, I answered the question earlier from some other participant that we are also looking at a possibility of expanding in boric acid. It's still a debate which we're having internally with the leadership team and our board of directors, but that's definitely one of the ideas which we have in the near future.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kalra, MD and CEO of Indo Borax and Chemicals Limited, for closing comments.
Sure. Thank you. Great moderation. So first of all, thank you to you. Thank you to all the participants. Thank you, Shashikant and Harsh, taking this call, and Rohit. Before we close, I would just like to say that this was a very engaging conversation and really thankful for your thoughtful questions. It not only was information from our side to you, it is a lot of ideas from you to us, so I really appreciate that. As we also discussed today, we are pleased with our performance this quarter, and we remain committed to delivering sustainable long-term value. Our strategy continues to be on track. We are confident in our ability to navigate headwinds while capitalizing on growth opportunities. I said a couple of times already, but I want to close definitely the note on this, that it's a story of transformation. It's a new leadership team. It's a very respected board. I would encourage all of you to go and look at the board of directors which we have. Very high transparency and integrity-driven board which we have. We are very high on processes and compliances, which you will also see in the coming quarters. I also promise here to continue to share transparent updates and to maintain open dialogue with our investor community. Our investor relations team, thank you, Rohit. It remains available to address any follow-up questions which we have seen today, and if you are not able to answer them. With this, I will say thank you once again for your time, for your continued support, and we look forward to updating you on the progress in the coming quarters. Wishing you a great day ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Indo Borax and Chemicals Limited, this concludes today's session. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect the call.